This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the podcast. It's time to chat some running today. Tim Hohler joins us once again as we talk about some of the things that he's done to get faster in the final leg of a triathlon. It's always a real struggle for most of us, but Tim seems to have it waxed, and we'll find out exactly how and why he's managed to do that. If you're looking for some help and guidance on your triathlon journey, if you're looking for training programs from beginner sprint right through to advanced Ironman, we've got you covered. We've gone and built a pretty phenomenal community of triathletes and runners and cyclists who are all working hard to get better. And yeah, you definitely want to check this out if you need some help and guidance. Just head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. I'm a partner in the business. My business partner is one of the best coaches here in South Africa. He's a Runner's World columnist. He was Triathlon South Africa's high performance coach for many, many years. You've heard me talk about the Comrades Marathon. He's the official Comrades Marathon coach employed by the race to write their training programs. He is superb. Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of coaches, a whole bunch of athletes, and I think you're going to love it. Go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. It is not one-on-one coaching, but you are getting unbelievable guidance. We do weekly office hours calls where you get to chat to the coaches. So it's very, very high touch with the programs you need at a very affordable price. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. And if you use the coupon code KONA at checkout, you'll get yourself a pretty hefty discount. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. We chat some running here on the podcast, and we head back to Denver in Colorado to catch up with Tim Hohler. Tim, welcome back onto the podcast. Great to touch base again.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having me back.
Tim, let's talk about your run. I mean, to be competitive and to be a top Ironman age grouper, your run's got to be pretty much dialed in, and yours is pretty much it. I mean, you're a machine on the run.
Yeah, you know, I've had my highs and lows, just like anybody. But, you know, I think a big part of God for me is that I really love it. I love how it makes me feel. I mean, I especially love it. I love running in the morning, get it done. You're working hard. I mean, you're burning a ton of calories in an hour run, depending on what you do. So it just made me feel really alive. And that's the one thing I really hope I stay healthy at doing, because I, you know, the risk for injury is very high, but I really hope I keep doing as much as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is pretty taxing. Out of the three disciplines, it's the most taxing on the body. What do you do to keep yourself in good nick as you're getting older to keep running the way you're running?
I think a big part of it is lifting weights. You know, after age 30, you know, your body mass tends to go down, start to decline a little bit. So I think it's really important to lift weights. I lift weights. I probably should lift more. I lift at least once a week every all year round. I probably should do more than that. But lifting weights is a big part of it. You know, a lot of people say, oh, do you stretch all the time? I personally don't stretch as much as I would probably like. But if I feel some niggles, like you mentioned before, I'll definitely stretch that part of the area that I need. I need to get stretched out. And then also I'd say it's the type of workouts that you do. Keep variety in your workouts. It doesn't have to be the same thing every time. Like a lot of stuff I do I live next to a lot of hills. So I'm always doing hills, because that strength in the hills will just reap you so many rewards, in my opinion. Yeah. So if you can find a hill, get out there and do it over and over and over again.
Tim, I love hills as well, personally. I mean, I'm a big guy, but they hurt, but my business partner's a pretty decent triathlon coach, and he is not the biggest fan of track workouts. And the reason he says so is not that you don't get benefits from track workouts, but for most people and for most athletes, that workout is the one that's got the highest risk of you picking up an injury. So he much prefers prescribing hill work, because you're getting the benefits of working hard like you would on the track, but you're not doing it at as high a pace and putting your body under as much strain as you are maybe doing hill repeats. I mean, do you feel the same sort of way?
I feel the exact same way. In fact, just when you were mentioning track workouts, I can't remember the last time I was on a track. I mean, maybe 15 years ago, maybe. And I mean, I think when you get on a track, for some reason, I think our mind takes us back to high school or elementary school, when we feel like we're on a track, we somehow feel like we have to go as fast as we can possibly go, like the whole time. I kind of feel like that's how a lot of us think. So I think as when you get into your late 30s and 40s, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm on the track. I got to do sprint 200s all the time. And you know, for some people, if that works, awesome. But for me, you hit it right on the head. It's just, for me, it's just another signal of, hey, I could get hurt here unless I'm truly prepared, truly warmed up. So that's why the hills are a really good substitute for that. Or sometimes I'll just do my quote unquote track workout on the road. Like I'll just, but I'll go by time, like 1 minute on, 1 minute off, 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off type of thing. Another good substitute instead of track. And I was talking to an account of mine about this recently who runs, but she lives on a country road and and she's like, how do you do speed work on a country road? And I said, well, do you have power lines? She's like, yeah. She's like, okay, well, sprint from one power line to another and then rest from that one to the next one. So that way she's got a little game going on and it's all right outside of her house. So you just have to get creative with speed and not necessarily think that the track is the be all end all, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Tim, as far as running a great marathon off the bike, what's the secret to doing that?
I would say certainly practicing bricks anytime you can. So every time I do a bike ride, even year round, I try to get in at least a 5 minute hard run afterwards just to get my body used to that transfer of muscles from the biking to the running. So, I mean, I used to just be like, oh, well, it's not a brick day. I won't do it. But I think everybody can squeeze out 5 minutes, even if it takes 5 minutes off of your bike time. And if you do that 5 minutes strong enough and fast enough, it's going to give you some satisfaction for, you know, your brick. So, but that being said, it might not set you up for that, you know, that perfect marathon, but it's going to help you at least for that transition. But for the perfect marathon, it's a tough one because you have to make sure that you practice those really long runs after the long rides over and over to make, in my opinion, to get your body used to how that's going to feel for sure. So it just takes practice.
If you could only ever do one run again over and over for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
You mean in terms of a workout run?
Yep.
Well, I have this favorite loop over by my house that goes around Red Rocks Amphitheater. If I could do that 2 hours straight, I'd be fine with that. No problem.
Yeah. I love it. Tim, it's been great catching up once again. I look forward to talking about your nutrition strategies. We'll save that for next time out. Thanks for your time on the podcast today.
All right. Thanks. Good. Have a good day.
And that's it for another podcast today. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you very much to Tim for sharing his Ironman run advice with us today. I'm back again tomorrow with another edition. We're going to be talking some nutrition, and we touch base. We head back to Australia to touch base with Mal Joseland, but that's coming up in the morrow. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you have any feedback or if you'd like to just catch up, let me know what you're up to. You can pop me an email, brad@deconaedge.com. I love hearing from people around the world. Let me know what you're training for. I'm training for Ironman South Africa in April. My entry is in. Training is going well. Just working on the consistency. And I'm using one of our programs on theconaedge.com/coaching. Getting access to the coaches, getting all the help, and I'm really, really seeing the benefits. So if you need some help and guidance, that's the URL to get to, okay? TheKonaEdge.com/coaching, and use the coupon code KONA at checkout to get a pretty hefty discount.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.